Good morning. It's nice to be all with you here again today, and trust the Lord will bless you as we look into His Word today. I'd just like to thank you all for your continued prayers for us as we prepare to go back to Papua New Guinea. It's always an encouragement either to get notes or just to realize that even being here on Wednesday nights, that God's people are praying for us. And Lord willing, we've got our tickets to go down to a wedding in Florida the first week of October. And from there, Lord willing, we haven't got our tickets yet. I think the lady forgot to call me back the other day, but we've got tickets booked to go from Orlando to LAX, Los Angeles, and then down to Brisbane, B&E, and then up to Port Moresby, and then up into Goroka. And Gloria understands what I'm saying by those little acronyms. But it's always encouraging to have God's people praying, and we can't thank you enough. 1,000 thanksgivings for your constant prayers and fellowship, and we just thank you so much for God's people. Having said that, now I've got a request. And in Papua New Guinea, we call it an asking. So people come all the time with askings to my door for many things that they want, and a lot of times I don't have them. So if you don't have this, it's fine, but I'm going to ask you for something that may be laying around your house, maybe you threw in a corner and that you don't use anymore. And that is, and this comes from some of our believers, but we want to make connection with some of the people that are in other villages, and the item is old cell phones that are unlocked. If you have one that's unlocked, it's laying around your house, that means you're not locked to a provider like Fido or any other ones, Bell or Telus. If it's open to be used, so we can plug it in, we have Digicel as our company over there. We'd like to plug a SIM card into that. And so if you have one laying around your house, some of our people over there are now using even touch screens, but some of the people in the off-road villages do not have phones, and it's just nice to be able to keep connection with them and talk about what we're going to be doing and things like that. So just if you happen to have one, that could be a blessing to some of the people over there. Let me know, but don't go wasting money to unlock it unless you find something that's unlockable for $3. I unlocked my phone recently. Somebody gave me one in the States, and it cost me $25. Don't bother doing that. Okay, let's just bow in a word of prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. We thank you that we hold God's Word in our hands. Father, we thank you for this book that tells us how we can follow you and how we can trust in you from day to day as we've been singing. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who is able to guide us and direct us and teach us about the truth. And Father, may we be living examples and lights to the world around us about the way to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, so much. And we thank you. We pray this morning for those who would be in with Wycliffe Bible Translators, many others around the world, independent, New Tribes Mission, Pioneer Bible Translators that are translating your word into some difficult languages. We just pray for wisdom for them. And we thank you, Father, again for the Lord Jesus Christ and for all that he means to us today. And we pray these things in your Son's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hopefully we'll get a picture up here. It's coming. This morning I'd like to talk a little bit about your spiritual walk. Before we become Christians, we have one nature, and after we get saved, we have two natures, and we have this new life that's within us that God has put within us, and we become a new creation in Christ. And it says, old things have passed away and everything's become new. But I find there's a problem hanging around. It's called my flesh. And it loves the things, which is another idiom for the things of this world, is the flesh can represent the things of the world. And my flesh wants to go after those things. But as I read God's word and I understand a little bit more and more day to day, I understand a bit more about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hear other people teach about him, and I read his word, it causes my life to grow in him. And as I grow in him, I desire less and less the things of this world. And the encouraging thing we can see as we're Christians, that we know we're Christians, we know we're saved, is when we've sinned and we've fallen and we feel ashamed or we feel guilt, we feel embarrassed. And that's because hopefully the Holy Spirit and God's word is doing a work in our hearts. So, the moment we get saved, the old nature, the sin nature, the flesh, not our physical body, our old man, the body of death, it's still there. It's still hanging around. And every once in a while, it likes to show its head. And that's why it's good for us to come together so that we can hear the Word of God, but we can be strengthened by one another. I was talking to brothers this morning, and I was strengthened this morning as I was talking with them. And Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." You can't do the things in the Christian life that you want to do if you're walking in sin. And so there can be a whole study we're going to look a little bit at this morning about what it is to walk in the Spirit. I'm just going to barely scratch the surface and what it is to walk the Christian walk. So when we're saved, we become engaged in a civil war that's within ourselves. And if you read Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, you would see that all around us, there's a war raging around us. And that battle is happening. We got to know if there's a battling happening, we need to know where it is. And that happens to be in our minds. And Satan is out and his enemies to trick us and the things of this world to make us fall down. And so we need to be aware as Christians that there is a battle raging. And that if we're walking in our Christian life and we're not aware that this battle is actually happening, that's when Satan can make us a target and we can fall. So things we once did without second thought, now we wrestle with them. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." So Christians, we should never be fighting amongst one another. We have a big battle that's happening around us. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So it's not really that difficult, but we seem to miss it because we get caught up in day-to-day things. I look at our tribal people in the bush, and they get up in the morning, and it's just, I've happened to have the privilege of sleeping in their huts a few times, and it's funny to see them get up in the morning, we gotta. And they think of all the things they gotta do so that they can have food on the table, and those are all those physical things, but as we look into the Word of God, we see that God places much more importance on the food, the spiritual food that we need to take in from day to day. So I try to encourage them. I said, "I know when you get up, you see the spade sitting there in the morning and says, get to work, or you see something else happening around the village, there's a court. And if there's a court in our village, everybody wants to hear the juicy news. And they go down there, and I've seen when our believers first got saved, they weren't at the meeting. Where were they? Where were you guys? Don't you know there was a meeting? Well, there was a court. Oh, so the court's more important than God. Well, no. Okay, then let's talk about this. And so the things of the world can soon draw us away. And we become less and less aware of them if we're not in the Word of God. And again, it's a spiritual fight that's happening around us. We got to be feeding on the Word of God if we don't want to fall into the sins of the flesh. So no, we're not split personalities. If you looked in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, we've looked at that. I won't read it this morning. It's almost a tongue twister just to read it. But Paul says, "The things that I do, I don't want to be doing, and what I should be doing, I'm not doing those things." And it just, at the end of it, he says, "Who's going to deliver me from the body of this flesh?" And because he's frustrated with the flesh. If you looked at the story of Abimelech, we see how incredibly evil the flesh actually can be. We see many stories in the Word of God. But with the story of Abimelech, he goes to see his mother's family. He's a half-brother to the rest of his brothers who are from Gideon. And he goes to them, he says, "Hey guys, why don't you make me king? And because I'm your brother, so why don't you make me king?" And they say, "Yeah, that's a good idea because there's 70 other brothers. Why don't you make me and I'll be a part of your family, you know, maybe some benefits there, whatever." And so then what does he do? He goes off to his brothers, his other half-brothers who are from Gideon, and the Bible says he kills them all on one stone. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but he slayed all his brothers on one stone. And his one brother, Jotham, got away, and he got up to on top of the mountain, and he heard the news of what happened, and it says he wept bitterly. Yes, we should never underestimate the sinfulness of our flesh. Our flesh really wants to do some bad things that are not honoring to the Lord. And But as we come together as Christians, and as we grow in the Word, as we read God's Word, I hope you have devotions, a time in the Word each morning, each day, where you can grow, a time together with Christians, where you can grow, both older and younger, we get together. And maybe you're here this morning, I don't know, and you're having a problem with a sin. There's a lot of things we know that is on the internet and that is in our face all the time. If you have a problem with those things, then put them aside or talk to somebody about them. There's help available here. That's why we meet together. We want the church to be strong and to be a strong body of believers to the world that's around us. It's not a hopeless conflict. If you read through Romans chapter 6, it's a great chapter to read. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So it's a conscious submission of obedience and dependence upon Christ. You have to make a choice. It's up to you. I know we have our friends, the Calvinists, who believe that God has decided whoever's going to be saved and who's going to be lost, but there's over 150 verses in the New Testament that have to do with choice. It's up to you. What are you going to do as a Christian? God is not pre-foreordained that some people go to hell and that some people go to heaven. I don't know if you believe that. The Word is very clear about that, but I'm not going to get into that today. But we need to make a choice as Christians. It's up to you whether you want to walk in the flesh or whether you want to walk in the Spirit. And God has given us everything that we need with His Spirit and within His Word that we can walk in the Spirit. So there's no other choice. If we don't willfully allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, the flesh is going to take over. And Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So it's nothing mystical, no mystical experience, but simply letting the Holy Spirit lead in our lives. And again, there's a lot of studying that we can do in the Word, but it's something that's very simple, and it's a choosing to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His leading. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit, and filled means to be under His control. As a matter of fact, I think verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So the idea there is that rather than being saturated with alcohol, it's just a picture, I think, what Paul's saying, rather than being under control with something like alcohol, be under the control, the saturation of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be led by Him, we must be in fellowship with Him. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So again, I know a lot of these things, many of you know them, but I hope that we can remind one another so that whatever comes at us, whatever comes at the youth, there's a whole lot of a different world out there. I was talking to one brother this morning, some people have trouble with their phones or whatever takes you away, distracts you from the Lord. Put those things aside so that you can follow the Holy Spirit and walk in the truth. For sin shall not have dominion over you, Romans 6:14 says. Those sins are things like anger, temper, immoral habits or thoughts, bad attitudes, impatience, lack of love, lack of submission, lying, exaggeration. And Romans 6:1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know what? Satan wants to rob you of the joy that you have in Christ. And I say to you, don't go back to that old life that you had before. There's no joy in it. There's guilt. There's embarrassment. There's shame. I was reading a book. My daughter Julie is dating a guy from Orlando, and she's reading books on marriage. And that's always scary as a dad. And one of these days, Leonard, it's going to happen to you too. But in the meantime, I pray for them. And so she was reading this book, and I opened the book up to the center, and I shared it the other day. We had a little get-together. I forget, it's the guy-girl get-together. What do you call it? Jack and Jill, yeah. So anyway, guys went to this thing, you know, this thing we never went to before, Jack and Jill thing. So this is what my brother does to me. He just calls me up. He says, I'm down in Earltown, Nova Scotia, and he calls me up and he says, hey, you're coming up to this afternoon? I said, oh, yeah, we'll be there. Oh, why don't you share a word on marriage? Oh, yeah, thanks for giving me lots of time. Anyway, so I got up there and we had a chance to talk to the couple and talk to everyone there. And it's just a wonderful time when Christians get together and to encourage this young couple to grow in the Lord. But anyway, my daughter, I share the story that Julie had been reading. It's in the center of this book. I hadn't gone through the book. And a story about a young couple who had been married for about a year. And each day they decided to maybe, I don't know, work on their relationship, but they would have worked together doing the dishes together. She would wash and he would dry. And they just really struggled big time. So one day they were having an argument, and he really liked to win in his arguments, but he was losing. And so anyway, he grabbed a plate and he biffed it at her, and he hit her in the forehead, and blood came out. And she walked right over to the phone, called up the police, and had him arrested, and he went off to jail for the weekend. And this is a Christian couple. Yeah, the flesh is still there. And so as he got into his cell, he lay down in his cell that night, and he began to think about all the ways he was not a proper Christian husband to his wife. And he began to realize that when she would be yelling at him, she was actually yelling at him for his love and for his affection, which wasn't happening. And so he got home after a long weekend, and he said to his wife, "I want to talk with you." And she was pretty nervous and sat down, and he said, "I don't want you to be defensive. I have something to share that God taught me." And he began to talk about many things, but the one thing he said was, "I realize that when you're yelling at me, you're really asking for my love." And he said, "I was totally missing it." And they both sat down and wept, and she sat on his knee, and they had a great time together, and today they're marriage counselors, of all things. And but the interesting thing, guys, I'll say this to you, is that this story is told by this man, but when this man decided to do what was right before the Lord, his wife followed suit. She had never talked about it. She just did what she knew the Lord wanted her to do in her own life, because the man decided to take his proper place and lead the wife. Two reasons why we can't live in sin. One, I am united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ." And Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death." This is not talking about water baptism. I don't believe there's any water in Romans chapter 6 in those first few verses. We're baptized into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. There's this new life God wants us to have, and we walk away from it. And so many times, I don't know if you do this, I look at the stories of Israel, and I come through the Old Testament, and I go, what a crazy bunch. Why would they not do this? But in some ways, we do the very same thing in our own Christian lives. So we're baptized into death. The moment we believe, we're baptized into death. Like as Christ went into the grave and was raised again, we are baptized, in that sense, into his death, because we become a part of him and raised again. And then water baptism is a symbol of that. This is a picture of one of our preachers. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Our coworker Tracy is back in Papua New Guinea, and she just snapped a few pictures of the Sunday meeting, which is all done with over there. And it was just neat to see all the believers that were still getting together. It was kind of a surprise for them to see a few other missionaries come out on Sunday morning. And here he is preaching, and he's come to the meeting, and he's dressed in rags, and his pants and his shirt is just rags and awful. And he asked everybody if they like it, and of course everybody said no. And so he took them off, and he had this bright red shirt underneath and dress pants underneath and whatnot, and he threw them in the corner. He says, "I don't want them anymore. If you guys want them, you're free to them." But he said, "They represent my old life." And he said, "I don't have any interest in going back to my old life, because it has nothing good. Just like those clothes, they're rubbish. They're no good anymore." He said, "God has given me better clothes," but he says, "even better yet, God has given me Jesus Christ. And I don't want to leave him. I want to be under his teaching and under him." So we can walk in that newness life. We have a choice from day to day whether we want to walk in newness of life. Second reason why we can't live in sin, we are slaves to Christ. That clock is working back there. I am a slave to Christ. 1 Corinthians 7:22 says, "For he who is called a slave in the Lord is a freed man of the Lord, and likewise he who is called a free man is a slave of Christ. And a slave should only do only what his master wants him to do." We are freed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are free to serve him. We are free to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Romans 6:15 says, "Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid." We see through, especially when you're reading through Romans, you see that sin enslaves you, and something other than the Holy Spirit has control of you. And as Christians, there's always somebody watching us, and we need to watch our habits. I have to I do laugh. I watch our tribal people when they're trying to discipline one another. It's the job of the uncle to discipline his nephews and nieces. Why? Because he's not in trouble about it. He doesn't care if he smacks them on the back of the head and they cry and they yell at him because he's not going to be with them. And you could see the problem with that system when I would watch the father, my neighbor, try to discipline his son. And he would discipline him sometimes because he wasn't behaving. And the son would just be mad, and he would whine, and it was terrible trying to study the language back in those days because you would hear him whine and whine for hours, and finally his father would say, okay, I'm sorry. If I give you this, would you stop? If I give you that, you know? And so the whole understanding and the purpose of discipline, but the kids would do what the parents would do. The parent would come along, the uncle would come along, smack somebody in the back of the head, and in our meeting when they're little, Tracy, our coworker, she's teaching them all the time. They walk up to each other just for the fun of it, smack the other kid in the head, and then somebody else walks over and smacks them in the head, and that's what happens. And people are watching us. People there, they watch the other kids, and they do the same thing over again. They watch the parents, they do the same thing. And there's not anything really real. And so it's difficult because even Fimo, when he's got to adopt a little boy, and he says, you better listen or Tracy's going to give you a spanking. And Tracy go over there and then have a word with him. You can't keep saying that to him or he's not going to listen to you. And eventually we see these little kids, Rebecca, she's named after my daughter's middle name. And she has a brother. Rebecca was 3 years old and her brother was 15 years old. And if she wanted his plate of food or whatever she wanted in the house, she got her way. She just began to kick up a fuss and do whatever. But finally Tracy began to work with his sister about being faithful and saying, no, there's this thing called discipline and that people are watching your habit. If you're going to teach your son that it's okay for her to do that, then he's going to be teaching the same way. And so she began to teach them a little bit, and eventually when Becca would kick up a fuss, her mother wouldn't, you know, adhere to it or let her have what she wanted. And eventually she began to realize she wasn't. And I was surprised when we came back last time. She's just a changed little girl. She's a sweet little girl, not this one who's kicking and screaming. If you and I are slaves to sin, we affect others. If you and I are slaves to God, we affect others. The question is how are we affecting others? Now I got this crazy little story. That's why I put the pelican there, so it can remind me. For many years, Monterey, a California coast town, was a pelican's paradise. As a fisherman cleaned their fish, they flung the offal. Does anybody know what offal is? I mean, other than awful, if something's awful, it's awful, right? But offal, O-F-F-A-L, is the entrails, or the guts, if I want to say it that way. They flung the offal, the entrails, to the pelicans. The birds grew fat, lazy, and contented. Eventually, however, the offal was utilized, and there was no longer snacks for the pelicans. When the change came, the pelicans made no effort to fish for themselves. They waded around and grew gaunt and thin. Many starved to death. They had forgotten how to fish for themselves. The problem was solved by importing new pelicans from the south, birds accustomed to foraging for themselves. They were placed among their starving cousins, and the newcomers immediately started catching fish. Before long, the hungry pelicans followed suit, and the famine was ended. Why do we share a story like that? Well, I think that there are times when we look around that there are people struggling with certain sins in their lives. It could be anything. And there are those of us who have gone maybe through similar things, and we have learned the benefits of walking by faith and helping others. And so one of the difficult things I find in Papua New Guinea is to disciple. Spending time discipling other people. I shared this at the conference recently. You can translate the Bible and you can see that you're making progress. But sometimes you can disciple people and it seems like they go backwards and they go forward and they go up and then down. But it takes time. And if you're here today and you're struggling with sin or you're needing help, listen, there's many brothers and sisters around you here this morning that want to help you, who have been in the Word a long time, and they want to encourage you regardless of what that sin or what that problem might be. So I encourage you that are older to be disciples to those around you. Harry Ironside said, "The greatest slavery in the world is freedom to sin. And the greatest freedom in the world is slavery to Christ." The question is, who are we slaves to? And the word servant in our English New Testament represents the Greek word doulos, which is bond slave, and sometimes it means diakonos, a deacon or minister. And both words denote a man who is, or a woman, who is not at his own disposal, but his master's purchased property. bought to serve his master's need, to be at his beck and call every moment. The slave's sole business is to do as he is told. The question is, are we being obedient and doing what we're told in the Word of God? So sin brings shame to us, even though you are forgiven. So why are we not more obedient in daily living? Why are we constantly defeated and struggling with sin? Why do so many Christians seem more conformed to the world than to God? I could see one lady that's in our village, and she was caught in adultery, and she's got her head down like this, and everybody's come to hear the court because they want to hear all the juicy details. And she's embarrassed, and there's a lot of shame, and everybody's pointing fingers at her and whatnot. And then a few weeks later, it's happening all over again. And if we could only learn that this sin that we're having trouble with is going to cause us shame and has caused us embarrassment. And do we really want to deal with taking this before the Lord every time? Oh, I've sinned again, I've sinned again. So why do so many Christians seem to be conformed to the world than to God? Well, there's three problems. There are many others, but there's three problems that I want to mention this morning. And one is our attitude towards sin is more self-centered than God-centered. We're more concerned about victory over sin than that our sin actually grieves the Spirit of God. God wants us to walk in obedience and faith, not victory. Yes, it's good to have victory, but he wants us to walk in obedience and faith. And I've listened to some who have had problems with sin, and they've known the Lord for some time, but they said, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And it's like the focus was all on me. And it's not I, but it's Christ who lives within us, who's going to give us the victory, and his Spirit working in our lives that gives us strength. The resources to live the Christian life don't come from a Luke. They come from the Holy Spirit. So, number two, we misunderstand living by faith. We think it means no effort is required on our part, and any effort on our part is the flesh. But the fact is that we have a personal responsibility to walk in obedience. Let's just turn over to, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. No, those things you can't do on your own, but yes, you can make the choice. Because we have a new life in us, old things should be passed away, and we have the Holy Spirit, we have very God that lives within us, and we can do those things that the Word of God commands us to do. Number three, we don't take sin seriously. We have those which are unacceptable and those that we tolerate. I listen to some Christians where, yes, sometimes they maybe go to bed at night and thoughts come into your mind. Maybe they're angry thoughts or whatever they might be, thoughts that are not appropriate. Sometimes we allow them to happen, and we shouldn't allow them. We think that absolute obedience is nitpicking and legalism. After all, we live under grace, but as his children, we ought to be completely obedient to his will. We cannot categorize sin if we are to live a life of obedience. And they can be in just many aspects of our life. I was driving in Dartmouth here a while back and near Cole Harbor. And it was four lanes and on this side road going out to a major road. And this lady was coming out of Shoppers. And so I could tell she was an older woman. I thought, oh, I'll let her go. I'll stop and she can come out of Shoppers and I'll let her go up to the light and then she can make her turn. And then somebody decides to walk along the sidewalk and block her for a few seconds while I'm waiting for her. So what does the guy behind me do? Hits the horn and he's honking at me. And immediately that doesn't help me too much, you know, when he does that to me. That's not nice. So anyway, he keeps honking his horn at me, and I thought, no, I'm going to let this lady come out. I've decided to stop. So she comes out, and she drives, and then he flies in the other lane past me and comes back in our lane again, and then he comes to the light, and he turns to go up the road. which is the same direction I was headed anyway. And he's in the right lane as he's driving up the hill. And so I come along, and I'm in the left lane. And he's in a line of lots of cars. And I thought, this would be just a perfect opportunity for me just to pull in front of him and apply the brakes a little bit so I could just teach him how, you know, just in a nice way, right? Why are you guys laughing? You guys don't have busy traffic. You guys don't have traffic. Wait till you go down to, we drive, I was speaking in Tampa and had to come back on the I-4 back to Orlando. You know what happens in Orlando? People in Orlando are not from Orlando. They're from everywhere else, and they don't know where they're going. Everybody's the same way. They don't know where they're going. Anyway, everybody's crazy. You get all kinds of lanes of people not knowing what to do, where to turn. It takes a lot of graciousness. Anyway, it was just a couple days later. I didn't do that, by the way. I was in Halifax, and similar situation. I went to turn right, and it was on a red light, so I had the right to go. And all of a sudden, the light must have turned green for this other guy, so I turned, and so he came right up behind me quickly. And I didn't respond or anything like that, just kept driving. And my daughter, Jennifer, pats me on the shoulder. She says, "You're doing good, Dad, you're doing good." Anyway, kids to remind you. We need to have an attitude like Joseph had. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Our sin is against God, and it affects his heart. He doesn't want to see us robbed of the joy. He knows that we'll fall, and he's always there for us. But he wants us to enjoy living the Christian life. Our hearts will deceive us. We play with temptation by entertaining the thought that we can always confess and ask for forgiveness later. And that's dangerous because God never overlooks sin, and it's actually an abuse of grace and of 1 John 1:9. So Scripture recognizes two types of people, saved and unsaved, but how do we divide them? Well, I've heard about color and nationality, rich, poor, wise, dumb looks, loser, whatever else we can say. I don't know what the terms are today at school and whatnot, but we use all these terms to describe people, and God looks at them as either in his family or out of his family, and I hope that when you, I love the brethren who get up and share, and they're real gospel preachers, and they've always got the gospel tracts. I try to remember to take them with me, but when they walk out of their house in the morning and they see somebody, they're thinking, are they saved or are they unsaved? That's what's on their mind, and what a wonderful thing it is when God's people have the heart to reach out and to realize that that person is actually on his way to hell, and or is he on his way to heaven? I don't know. I used to be in the Baptist church. I was. And dare I say that. And there was this preacher named Jack Hiles. There used to be a newspaper put out called The Sword of the Lord. Anybody hear The Sword of the Lord before? A few? Okay. And but Jack, he would just get on the bus wherever he was going and sit down beside somebody. And as soon as he sat down, he'd look at me and say, "Hi." And the guy'd say, "Hi." And he says, "Are you saved?" I go, "What?" He said, "Are you saved?" "What do you mean? Saved from what?" And he said, "If you were to die today, would you go to heaven?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, do you want to know if you're going to heaven? Wouldn't you want to know if you're going to heaven?" I suppose so. And Jack has led people to the Lord because as soon as, wherever Jack goes, as soon as he sees it, that's what's on his mind, or was. And ready to preach the gospel, ready to share it, that was on his mind and on his heart the full time. I don't know if that's what's on your mind or not. The other thing I was looking at was the thought of nationality. Boy, things are really changing in different parts of the world, in Toronto to Halifax to here. We see different people coming from different parts of the world. The mission field is now in our backyard, and we see people from different countries, and I hope that we're willing to change a little bit, some of our form. Maybe someday you guys will change, and you guys will throw out the pews and have a bamboo floor like we have in Papua New Guinea or something like that. Well, maybe not. But there are people that are from different walks of life, different Christians. They're fellowshipping. They love the Lord. They break bread from Sunday to Sunday, but their building doesn't look like this. Some of them are in poorer situations. Some of them are in richer situations. But I hope that we're ready to welcome them, regardless of what their background is. We were eating with some Koreans not long ago, and we sat down and got ready to eat. And I felt like saying, "Sit down, you know, wherever you guys are. Everything's cool here." But that, I didn't, of course, and because it's their culture to serve first, and they stand up and serve. And what a testimony it was to see them just stand up and serve and listen to your conversation or whatever you had to say. They had a real servant's heart. A different culture is all it was. So a person's either saved or unsaved, in Christ or out of Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, dead in sin or alive with Christ, Ephesians 2:5. God's sight is absolute. He sees men living in darkness away from Christ, or he sees them in Christ. And we were blessed to be able to have some Bibles we were able to give out to these people. And those people were having a youth conference. These people remind me much of the Pharisees trying to make their own way into heaven. And we're just so thankful that we could give them the Word of God and talk to them a little bit about the Word of God and the importance of reading it, which they seem to think. And we just pray that more of these young people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Two phrases here, after the flesh and in the flesh, we find in Romans 8. After the flesh is a person's condition, and in the flesh is their position. And when we're still unsaved, when we're unsaved, we're in the flesh and after the flesh. But when we are saved, we are positionally in Christ, but we can either be after the flesh or after the Spirit. Again, that's a choice. Where do you want to be today? The Bible tells us, commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And if you're not walking in sin today, regardless of how young you are or how old you are, if I asked you, are you filled with the Spirit, you could say yes. And hopefully that's what it is for you this morning, that you're under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what the idea of being filled is. What is our thought life like? They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And yes, there's things that come up within us that will want to draw us away, but where does our heart really want to be? Yes, I will fall. Yes, I will once in a while even get angry at my wife when I disagree with her, and I will even sin. And different ways I will sin. But my heart is to follow the Spirit and to get up on my feet and trust to God and not to continue to walk in that type of path. Matthew 5, 21-28 tells us, Jesus would be speaking to a group, and he says, you know, if you think to lust after a woman, that's the same thing as the guy who's done it. If you think to kill somebody, it's the same thing as the guy who's actually done it. And so our thought life is very important to the Lord Jesus Christ, that our thoughts, what we feed ourselves with, are from the Word of God and that are not from the world. So can a person who is a new creation in Christ and is not in the flesh but in the Spirit, can that person walk after the flesh? Yes, we've been looking at Galatians 5:16, which says, walk in the Spirit, and Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. Okay, I got a minute or two left here. Three facts about those who are after the flesh: their nature, they mind things of the flesh, their state, they are in a death, their condition, they cannot please God. So that's your state if you decide you want to walk after the flesh. And that's a choice. It's that simple. If you want to walk in the Spirit, we can be an example and a testimony and encouragement to others. What do you dwell with most satisfaction? I know there's nothing wrong with a Ford truck, but I just put it on there. I know there's times that I think, that'd be nice to have, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that, to have a truck. But if that's all you dwell upon, whatever it is, whether it's clothes for the ladies, I think clothes is more of a ladies thing. Some guys, my brother, he likes clothes. But if that was all that you ever dwelt on, if your heart was there, then God says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God wants us, our treasure, to be in heaven, because that's where we actually are seated. Okay, I'm going to cruise along here. So how do I stay in fellowship? Well, we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how do I maintain spirituality, my walk? Well, we walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5 again. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, like taking that big water hose that you put out a fire with, that same idea. Don't squash that. Don't squash the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay, how do I know that I'm walking? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is evident in a Christian's life. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I know one guy, he just, every time his computer would freeze, he would get used to throwing it and throw it across the room. No, be patient. You know, it's you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living within. Allow those fruits be seen in your life. Four ways to deal with temptation. I'm going to close hopefully with this, I think. Say no to it. Don't coexist with it. Don't yield your members as servants to unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Don't make provision for the flesh. Don't give that opportunity. Don't be in a situation where you find yourself, maybe it's at night when you're on your own or whatever, Don't put yourself in that sort of situation. Don't give place to the devil. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, peace with them that call on the Lord of a pure heart. And again, I mentioned this before, ask, am I willing to face the consequences of what sin will bring me? Think of Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I can only say that there's probably a lot of us who would enjoy the pleasures in sin of Egypt, but he esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And lastly, you can put, you can help your thought life by memorizing scripture. And as we're going to talk a little bit tonight about people in other languages, we're going to talk about those people who do not have the Word of God in their language, and so they can't hide God's Word in their heart. They can't memorize it. They don't know it. But you and I can hide it in our heart. The Bible says if we hide it in our heart, then we won't sin against him. And 1 Peter says, if you will do these things, you will not sin or you will not fall. We have to be willing to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I see my time's finished. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. There's so much to say and so much to see in your Word that helps us to walk the Christian life. But Father, I just pray too for each one here today that they'll be encouragement, the older to the younger and even the younger to each other and to the older as well, that we might share Scripture and share the things that God is doing in our own lives. And we thank you, Father, for your Spirit continually pointing us in the right direction. We thank you for the Word of God, for how it guides us and directs us. And I just pray that as we go out this morning, that we would not focus on our sin, on our failures, but we would focus this morning on the Lord Jesus Christ and that all he has done for us and that all he wants to do with us in the future, that our focus would be there today and in your Word. We pray you would give safety as we return to our homes, and I pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you.